Welcome to 7-Minute Torah. I'm Rabbi Micah Streifer. In this podcast, we make modern meaning out of ancient texts. We explore the weekly Torah portion in about 7 to 12 minutes. 7-Minute Torah is a production of La'asok, the liberal Beit Midrash. You can become a supporter at laasok.org or at patreon.com/7-Minute Torah. This Torah portion brings us to a very exciting moment of ending and beginning. Because as we read Pekudei, we bring the book of Exodus to an end. This parsha, Pekudei, starts at Exodus chapter 38:21 and goes through the end of chapter 40, which is also the end of the book of Exodus. Now, before I jump in, a reminder that this Thursday, March 14th, is the beginning of a six-week Pirkei Avot study group that I'll be running through La'asok. Pirkei Avot, which some of you have studied before because some of you have studied it with me, is the Talmud's compilation of ethical teachings. It is just filled with amazing insight into life and spirituality and community and growth and what it means to be human. It really lends itself to great conversation. And we're going to spend six Thursday afternoons, 1 hour each week, studying Pirkei Avot together. If you're interested, just shoot me an email at rabbistreifer@gmail.com or go to laasok.org, laasok.org, and look under current classes, and you can sign up for this amazing study group that we're going to be launching this Thursday. Now, as I said, this week's Parsha is an ending, but it's an ending actually in two different ways. It's an ending in that we're going to read the end of the book of Exodus, but it's also an ending because the work of the building of the Mishkan, the tabernacle or holy space, is finally completed. Which is good, because, I mean, we've been talking about this thing for like a month. Back in the middle of February, we read Truma, where the Israelites are commanded to build a sanctuary. Ve'asuli mikdash. V'shachanti b'tocham, it says. Let them make me a sanctuary so that I may dwell among them. And then for 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, it gives instructions upon instructions on how to build this thing. The components that people are supposed to bring, the various colors of yarns and threads, the precious metals that went into it, the exact specifications for how to build this sanctuary. Somebody in my Midrash study group last week called it the IKEA instructions for building the Mishkan. And it is a little bit of that. You're supposed to follow it directly, follow it exactly, and build a holy space. And now, with this week's Parsha, finally, we read these words. This is Exodus chapter 39, verse 32. Vatechel kol avodat mishkan ohel moed. And thus was completed all the work of the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. The Israelites did just as God had commanded Moses for them to do. And I'm jumping forward a few verses. The people bring this mishkan to Moses to show him the work that they've done. And it says, Vayar Moshe et kol hamelacha. And Moses saw all the work that had been done. And behold, just as God had commanded it, so they had done. Vayivarech otam Moshe, and Moses blessed them. So the building of the Mishkan ends with a kind of a show and tell. The people bring their work before Moses. Moses looks over it, sees that, yeah, this is done according to specification, and gives it his blessing. But the rabbis notice something very interesting as they're reading this parsha. They notice that that verse I just read sounds an awful lot like another verse that we already read way back in the fall. Listen, I'll say it again. It says, Vayar Moshe et kol hamelacha. Moses saw all the work, which sounds a little bit like Vayar Elohim et kol asher asa. God saw all that God had done. And then our verse says, Vehine asuota ka'asher tziva Adonai. Behold, they had done it as God had commanded. And way back in Genesis, it says, Vehine tov me'od, and behold, it was very good. So the completion of the work of the Mishkan sounds like the completion of God's creation of the world. And actually, the rabbis use this to spin a sort of a vast midrash that compares these two events. So, for example, they say that regarding the creation of the world, it says, let the waters be gathered. And regarding the creation of the tabernacle, it says, you shall make a washing station of brass and put water in it. Regarding the creation of the world, it says, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven. And regarding the creation of the Mishkan, it says, you shall make a lampstand of pure gold. Regarding the creation of the world, it says that God made birds. And regarding the creation of the Mishkan, it says that God commanded the people to sacrifice birds. Regarding the creation of the world, it says that God created human beings. And regarding the creation of the Mishkan, it says that God brought forward one human being, the high priest, to serve in the sanctuary. So the rabbis see these really interesting parallels between God's creation of the world and people's creation of the Mishkan, the holy space. And to some extent, it's a bit of a stretch. The rabbis are definitely looking for these parallels. I mean, these things don't happen in the same order in both accounts. And the light and the birds and the water, they don't have the same purposes in both accounts either. And yet, when we looked at that verse 43, we could see just how clear the parallels are. It really does end with a looking over and a seeing the goodness of, and then a blessing upon the creation of the thing. So it's possible to surmise that whoever wrote this story of the Mishkan had the story of creation in mind. And in that sense, the Midrash, while it's a stretch, isn't such a stretch. The real parallel here, I think, is the notion of creating holy space. The Mishkan is ultimately the story of our creating a space for God or godliness in the world. The Torah describes it as a particular building, although it's a building that they would carry with them through the desert. And that, of course, is parallel to a building that was in Jerusalem that didn't move, which is to say the ancient temple. But the portableness of it, I think, is important because once the temple is destroyed, almost 2,000 years ago, the place for God's presence had to be portable. It had to be not only just one specific location, but anywhere in the world where holy actions were performed. And some of you who listen to this podcast regularly have heard me quote the Talmud, where in Tractate Brachot it says that anywhere that 10 people gather in prayer, God's presence is with them. Or anywhere that 2 people gather in study, God's presence is with them. So in other words, the Mishkan becomes a symbol for something much larger, which is human beings' ability to bring godliness into the world through our actions, our prayer, our study, our tikkun olam, the ways that we go about making the world a more godly place. And in that sense, I think the parallel with the creation story is very apt. Because when it comes down to it, there is no one place to go to experience God's presence. It's not just about one mountaintop in Jerusalem. God's presence is in our actions. God's presence is something that we have the ability to bring into the entire world. And in that sense, the creation of the Mishkan is parallel to the creation of the entire world. And as we bring the book of Exodus to an end here, that's exactly the idea that the Torah leaves us with. Almost the final verse in the chapter says, Kvod Adonai male et hamishkan. The presence of God filled the sanctuary. And with that, the people could move forward into the desert because they had begun to build the institutions that would allow them to bring the divine into the world. We do the same. In fact, we have to do the same. Jewish life ultimately is about bringing the divine into the world, about repairing this world and making it in its entirety a home for the godly. So with that, we bring this book of the Torah to an end. Chazak, chazak, v'nit chazek. Be strong, and let us strengthen one another. May our work in the world help to make it a little more godly, a little more whole, as we march across the wilderness. Next week, we start with the book of Leviticus. Remember, if you want to study Pirkei Avot with us starting on Thursday, please look for information at laasok.org. Thanks for being on this journey with me, everyone. Have a great week. 7-Minute Torah is a production of Laasok, Sacred Texts, Modern Meaning. If you enjoy this program, please consider becoming a sponsor at patreon.com/7minutetorah. For more information about upcoming learning opportunities, go to laasok.org, laasok.org. I'm Rabbi Micah Streifer. Thanks for listening.